radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Leviticus, and we're in chapter 23. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
The leaven would be the Gentiles, unclean people, uncircumcised, which was only a picture of what the heart was to be. Uncircumcised heart would be one that would be caught up in idolatry, caught up in sin, and headlong involved in all kinds of false religious behaviors. In fact, we are there today. You see it on every front. The secularism is simply a religion. The Marxism is a religion. The communism, the socialism, it's religious. They don't have any plan. They just have an agenda. And that is getting people crazy in their lives, and certain relationships with spiritual wickedness becomes ramped up the fever pitch. There is a spiritual darkness in our land, and it's because people are given wholeheartedly over to an idolatry, whether it's what they would assume to be self-worship or whether it's Satanism. And some of them are doing things today in a very overtly satanic kind of way. They know what they're doing. They know who they're chasing. There are all kinds of things I could go into at this point, but I shall not. But we can tell ourselves what we found in the book of 1 Corinthians, where the Bible says the idol is nothing, but there's a demon behind the idol. So you understand that when people are worshiping things, they're opening themselves up to things. They want direction. There are people who are involved in the media, whether it be music or whether it be acting. These people literally channel, and they know it. They channel different kinds of spirits. One of the stories that struck me most vividly in recent days was the one of Denzel Washington, who was actually on the internet recently. People, hey, listen to what he had to say. He was such a great guy. He would go to different baccalaureate exercises and speak as a person who was successful. And he would talk about them to remember God. But what you don't hear if you don't follow out the thread is that this man also has been known to do some things that are pretty eerie, at the very least, may I say. He actually played Malcolm X in the movie Malcolm X. And as he was actually filming a scene, he was giving a on-running soliloquy that was done by Malcolm X in real time. But the script was very limited, for time's sake. And he began to do his part, but he went well beyond it. And he did not miss a word, having never studied anything off script. And the director kept the camera rolling. When it was all done, he said, man, that was amazing. They didn't even know it was the actual words of Malcolm X. And he was channeling the demon who was present. And that man came into Denzel. You say, well, that's a little stretch. Well, wait a minute. Go with me. Denzel actually went to Malcolm X's gravesite, and he laid down on that grave under advice of another who said, this is how you can get the best result for this part. And he laid down, and it was something like grave drenching or something. I can't tell you all the thing, but they're trying to suck up the spiritual power of that person. It's being done in churches today. They're going to places like Oswald Chambers graves, and people like they're trying to get the Holy Spirit off of the grave. Hey, you know, these people, they don't know what they're playing with. They hear something out there in the world, and then they begin to access it. So I say to you that there's a lot of demonic stuff going on. And when people give themselves over to Marxism, socialism, and whatever kind of ism you want, they're actually opening themselves up to a demonic influence. And that's why the Bible can say without blinking, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood. So the persons who are breaking our windows are not the problem. The problem is there are people who are stirred up spiritually and they have no understanding. They think it's their opinion, their thoughts. They're frothing at the mouth many times. And what ends up happening is that they fall headlong into the nasty of the demonic. And so when we see this Feast of Pentecost. This was the day when the church began to get its hedge firmly set into place. Because it was then that the Holy Spirit fell upon the 120, and those men and women in that upper room began to speak in tongues, flowing out into the streets, and all these Jews and Gentiles out there are hearing the gospel of Jesus in their own language. Peter finally brings the gathering together, and he says, men and brethren, this is what Joel wrote. He's not saying this is what Joel said would happen. He said this is what he wrote. And he was giving the narrative to show as a springboard that just as the Spirit was going to be poured out in the last days, God has exalted Jesus to His throne in heaven, and He, Jesus, has now poured out this that you now hear and see. He wasn't saying it was fulfilled what Joel said. He was saying Joel was talking about the Spirit being poured out, and this is what Jesus has done. He has opened our mouths. He's opened your eyes. And now you, who 50 days ago had cried, crucify Him, may be saved. And He gets to the end and the people cry out, what must we do to be saved? And He says, repent. That metanoia word I keep drilling home to our hearts. Metanoia, change your mind. He says, listen, Jesus is the Christ. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Not to have your sins remitted, but on the count of. That's another way of looking at the word for. It means on account of. You don't get saved by being baptized. You say, well, how can you make that point? Because the same thing was said in a different way to a Philippian jailer who was Gentile in his own setting. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, the Philippian jailer, after the earthquake happened, all the cells open. You remember the scenario. He grabs a light and he comes into Paul's cell and he says, what must I do to be saved? He didn't even mention repent, change your mind. He just needed to get his mind straight because he wasn't confused. He was lost, knew it. He was a heathen. What did he say? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. He didn't say repent. He didn't need to repent. He needed to believe on Jesus. So I say to you, this is the word of God that you need to have a handle on. And in Pentecost, the Jews and the Gentiles were made out of two men, a new man. And Jesus said very clearly, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. This was the birthday of the church. So we got our hedge put in firm place and we are not going to be separated. We're not going to be cast out. We might limp all the way home, but Jesus is still our rear guard, our lover of our soul. He will never cast us out. And even those who are little souled and weak and unruly, He will take them on in. I always see the picture of a bunch of puppies trying to crawl up some steps. And there's always that one whose little feet are motoring behind him. He can't get up. And then the owner of the puppy litter just pushes him on up. Jesus is that one for us. You say, well, how can you say that? Aren't we all supposed to be perfect and persevere to the end? No, that can't happen. You would never persevere if it was left up to you. No, all of us fall, all of us stumble, all of us make mistakes, all of us sin. We are like little children, you know, when Jesus talks about our conversion, He calls it being born again. We're born again, that means we start out as babies. What happens with babies? They mess the diaper, they knock things over, they grab things and break things that you hold dear. Jesus is willing for all of that craziness because for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He knew we would be part of His family, not just sons and daughters, but His beloved bride. Sons and daughters of God, but His beloved bride, His personal bride. He loves us. So I say to you, this Pentecost feast is pretty profound, finding its purchase in a fuller harvest that is actually anticipated. Well, that brings us past something. We have all that going on in the early days of the year. Then there's this leap to a time where we have a thing called the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets. And in the Feast of Trumpets, that will be the fulfillment of the rapture of the church. And so when you see the rapture of the church set before us, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52 brings it to our attention and following. The Bible says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Listen to this. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. That seems like a terrible place to end it with a period, so we won't end it there. We're going to read the next verse. It says, but thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see how powerful that is? The strength of sin is the law. Jesus satisfied the law. And when we have the Feast of Trumpets, we're getting closer and closer to the time when, in fact, the Lord Jesus will sound a trumpet, as we see in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise. And we shall be changed. Two things are going to happen at the trumpet. The dead in Christ will rise, and that means everybody at the point of Pentecost up to the present day, not anybody Old Testament, they don't get raised till later. They get raised at the end of the tribulation. So there's a coming in the air, and there's a coming to the earth. Coming in the air is for you and for me. He's coming. He's going to catch us up, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen to it out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God." Feast of Trumpets. "And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet them, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, the beauty of this is that this is the next feast to actually be fulfilled. And the beauty of it is that if it's a bridegroom coming for his bride, which it is, because he's getting the dead in Christ, we're his bride. That's why he's not getting the Old Testament saints. He's getting the church saints, the dead in Christ. He's going to take us up, and for 7 years we're going to have a wedding in heaven. It's going to be the actual consummation of the wedding. There will be the judgment seat of Christ, which is a bema seat. At that bema seat, there will be the rewards given out. And some of us might not get very many, okay, sadly. The Bible says some are even going to be saved yet so as by fire. Isn't that interesting? So everything's going to pass through. That means everything they did was kind of marginal at best, wood, hay, and stubble. Nothing really deep because they never dug deep. You say, well, why does he even let them in? Well, because he can. Because he paid for everything. And all he requires is that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The quality of our walk with God is up to us. If we walk in contradiction to him, we may go home early. There are sins unto death. If we just stay under the radar and we walk in scorchedness and choke, you know, people walk, sometimes go miserably to heaven. They're just miserable. They don't feel good in church, so they don't go to church. They don't like people in church, they don't go to church. They don't like the world because they don't fit there. Their eyes are open. They can't not see how bad it is. They're like a fish out of water. They don't fit anyway because they never got forward thinking. They never got looking to Jesus. They never got deep and started being thrilled by the truth of God's Word. And then others have been bitten and hurt and beaten and somehow abused. And they are like with those who are Pharisees and so forth. Those people maybe have been disillusioned. That was what Jesus was overcoming his entire earthly ministry. And people said he speaks as one having authority and not as one of the scribes or Pharisees. You see, the people were a little disillusioned, and that's why Jesus had to constantly say, listen, there's a wedding coming. Believe on me and you'll have everlasting life. Just focus on me. Keep your eyes on me. Jesus would say, keep your eyes on me. He'll get you from here to home. And if you begin to just realize you're in a yoke with him and you can keep your eye on him, you're going to begin to find out that this walk can be a glorious walk. It can be from victory to victory, from faith to more faith. Now, we see him talking about this Feast of Trumpets, and this is where the rapture of the church will be undertaken. We've seen the two defining passages, 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4. But I want you to know that when we're up in heaven for 7 years, there's a great tribulation going on down here. There's going to be a one world government. There's going to be a one world monetary system, actually. There's not going to be any currency anymore. You've got to get a mark. By the way, if they can get us to take a mask like they have, they can get us to take a mark. That's where it's going. The lost people don't have any clue on this. When they start saying to you, you can't come in and shop here because they can't make us take a mark. We're not here when it actually is instituted. That shows you how close we are. Okay? We're very close to the Lord's coming. What they can do, though, is they can get to the point where they say, listen, masks are required. You cannot come in here.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.